Matthew chapter number 20. I think I said 28, didn't I? Yeah, verse number 6. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 6. A very familiar passage of Scripture. And this is kind of the springboard where the Lord launched this message in my heart. Brother Gary had asked me, I guess about 3 weeks ago, what I wanted him to put on the sign out there. And I had this verse put on the sign, and as I began to meditate on it, the Lord began to work in my heart. Matthew 28, verse number 1, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher." Let me say just a word right there. The Sabbath day is Saturday. There are some people that don't know that, so I thought I'd stop and tell you the Sabbath day is Saturday. That's the seventh day. Sunday is the first day of the week. And the reason that the church meets on Sunday is to celebrate every Sunday, every first day of the week, every Lord's Day, the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." I don't know how many years it's been, but someone brought out a great truth. The stone was not rolled away to let Jesus out, but the stone was rolled away to let us in. You say, "Now, preacher, how could you say that?" Well, pretty easy. When you find the resurrected Lord, he doesn't have to open the door to go into a room. Amen. And so he could just step right through the door, the stone there at the door. "His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men." I want to just say this morning. I want to say it humbly, and I want to say it reverently. But a lot of people in our generation are treating Jesus just like he's one of the good old boys. The Word of God said here, Brother Grizzle, they shook. They became as dead men. He's holy. He's the God of heaven. The Word of God said, "And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." Look at these three words right here. This is where the message was birthed in my heart. "As he said." Just like he said. He said he was going to get up. And he did. Just like he said. "As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you." Let's pray together. We'll get right into the message. Our Lord, we thank you this morning for the word of the living God. Lord, not only is our God alive, but this Bible is alive. Lord, it is the living word. Lord, we thank you this morning for the privilege, Lord, to hear the children sing and to give us verses from the scripture. And Lord, we thank you that we know it's true. It's not just a song. There's nothing that can wash away our sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I pray this morning, Father, that you would make this message real in the heart of the hearer as you've made it real in my heart. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I want to try to be mindful of the time. Please pray for me. I'd like to get through this message this morning. My title this morning is simply taken from an old song that I love, "Because He Lives." Because he lives. And I want to give you three things, three simple truths this morning. And I pray that they will lodge in our heart in life. Number one, the truth, because he lives, he can be trusted.
He can be trusted. I'm telling you, there's a lot of things in the world that you can't trust. There's a lot of people in the world that you can't trust. But I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that can be trusted, because things have happened just like He said. Either they have already taken place, as He said, or you can mark this down, take it to the bank. They will happen just like He said. When you read the book of Revelation, we ought to tremble, because things are going to happen just like He said. You say, well, preacher, we won't be here in the great tribulation. I know. But I know this. Some of our loved ones will be. Some of our neighbors will be. Some of our co-workers will be. And we ought to take it to heart that it's going to happen just like He said. The Word of God said here, He's not here, He's risen. As He said, come see the place where the Lord lay. I say He can be trusted because He is risen. He can be trusted. The Bible said in verse number 17 of 1 Corinthians 15, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sin. You say, preacher, what difference does it make whether Jesus got up or not? Well, it just makes this difference, heaven or hell. That's what difference it makes. Amen. He got up just like He said, and He can be trusted. He is risen, as He said. The second thing here, He is restoring, as He said. You say, preacher, what do you mean? In Mark chapter 16 and verse number 7, y'all remember a man by the name of Peter. A man that told Jesus he would go with him all the way. And a man that ended up denying the Lord. A man that ended up warming by the fire as the Lord Jesus was about to be crucified. The one that ended up that said, I'll always be with you. And yet he ended up walking afar off as Christ was crucified. This is the one. Listen to what the Bible said. Mark 16 and verse number 7. The Bible said, but go your way. This is after the resurrection. I just read the account in Matthew. But in Mark, there's a little something added. Tell his disciples. We got that in Matthew. But in the book of Mark, it uses these two words, and Peter. You say, preacher, what does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means that our Lord knew what was going on in Peter's life. It knew that our Lord knew that he was afar off. He knew that Peter's the one that confessed that he was the Lord. He was Christ. And Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What it meant was that Christ was going to restore that one that was walking afar off. He can be trusted because He is risen, but He can be trusted because He's still restoring people, even in our generation. You say, preacher, you don't know how far I've gone. It doesn't matter. I know how long His arm is. His arm is longer than the distance that you've gone. He can reach farther down than you and I can reach up and restore us to that place of blessing. He's still restoring. He said, go tell your disciples and Peter that He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see Him as He said. He can be trusted as He said unto you. Think about this. When they ran over there to tell the disciples, they said, hey, you guys got to come. Jesus is alive. He's risen. Peter, guess what? He told us especially to tell you. I believe old Peter's heart melted, don't you? You want to see Christ restoring? I won't take the time this morning to read it. I believe it's over in John chapter 21. I'll tell you, three times He said, lovest thou me more than these? Oh, hallelujah. That Jesus had the fish. Jesus had the bread. And Jesus fellowshiped with them boys that day and restored Peter to that place of blessing, because He lives. He is risen. He can be trusted. Because He lives, He can be trusted. He is restoring. And because He can be trusted, because He lives, we have rest. Listen to what the Bible said. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as He said. You say, preacher, how come I have this rest in my heart? When I got saved, the Lord He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing like the rest that the Lord gives. Nothing like it in the world. He said here, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The price was paid before the world was ever made. Amen. In the heart and mind of God, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. That we could enter into rest. Someone said in a poem, trust him when dark doubts assail thee. Trust him when thy strength is small. Trust him when to simply trust him seems the hardest thing of all. Trust him, he is ever faithful. Trust him, for his will is best. Trust him, for the heart of Jesus is the only perfect place of rest. I say because he lives, he can be trusted. A little while back, I read an illustration, and I thought it was amazing to me, the illustration. You said, I said, preacher, I'm a believer. I've trusted the Lord. Well, I'm glad. And I'm going to give you an illustration that will help you to weigh it out a little bit, help you to think about it. In other words, if maybe a sharp pain would hit you right now in the chest, I mean a pain like you've never experienced before, I'm asking you, have you trusted him? I'm talking about if you begin to get swimmy-headed or light-headed and you begin to just lose your faculties and control, can you say, hey, he's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's the one that got up the third and appointed day. Amen. He's the one that's coming back after me. They had this class. It was a speech class. Seems unusual to use such an illustration in a speech class, but the challenge to the students in the class was to give a speech that was convincing and convicting and really brought out something that people wouldn't forget. And so this man, he did a class on the law or a speech on the law of the pendulum. That's what his speech was on. So they had a chalkboard in the class. It was a college class. And he took a pen, a straight pen, or a one of those push pens, and put it in the top of the framework and let a little string hang down with a kid's toy top hanging from the bottom of it. And the law of the pendulum, as he taught it, was if you pick it up over here, and he drew a line on the chalkboard, and he turned it loose, and the top went over this way and came back. The law of the pendulum was this: it will never come back farther than when you first released it. And so as it went back and forth and back and forth, each time it came over, he put a mark on the chalkboard, put a mark on the chalkboard, put a mark on the chalkboard until it was hanging straight up and down, dead still. And they call that the equilibrium. Okay? So he taught about that in the college class, and he got finished with his presentation, and he said to the class, he said, how many of you all believe in the law of the pendulum? The professor raised his hand. All the students raised their hand. All of them together believed in the law of the pendulum. And so he said to the professor, he said, are you sure? He said, of course, I'm sure. So he took the professor, and he already had all this planned out, and he took a professor, set a chair over here with the back of the chair to the wall, and he asked the professor to sit down in the chair, and he reaches up in the ceiling, and he pulls down a rope, and he ties a 50-pound weight to the end of the rope. He's got 50 pounds suspended from the ceiling, and he pulls it right over under the professor's chin. And he said, do you still believe in the law of the pendulum? And the professor, beads of sweat popped out on him. And he said, yes, I do. And about that time, that young man turned that weight loose. And it went shoof, out across the classroom. And about the time it reached its stopping point here and started back, he headed for Dodge, buddy. He was out of the chair, out of the way. He was having none of it. Amen. I'm going to tell you, that's the way a lot of people are by Christianity. Oh, yes, they believe. But I'm going to ask you something right now. When that heart quits ticking, how's that belief? When something goes wrong, amen, are you trusting him? In other words, he saw it in theory, but he didn't know it in truth. Amen. I want you to know that a lot of people this morning, they say he can be trusted. But have you really trusted him with your soul? Have you trusted him with your life? Have you trusted him? Because he lives, he can be trusted. I'm going to tell you what. I don't know what a 50-pound weight would feel like hitting a man right in the chin. But according to the law of the pendulum, it should have stopped short of where he turned it loose. But that professor didn't really believe. That young man looked at the class and asked the question. He said, "Now, did the professor believe?" Everybody said, "No." You see, we use the word believe flippantly and lightly. But to trust Jesus is to be born again. To trust Jesus is to have a changed life. To trust Jesus is to want to live a life that pleases God. To trust Jesus is to know that heaven will be your home when you breathe your last breath. Amen. Whether we're young or whether we're old. Because he lives, he can be trusted. Secondly, in the message today, because he lives, he has all power. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Romans 1:4 said, "And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead." Matthew 28:18 said, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Because he lives, he has all power. I'll give you two things right now quickly. Number one, he has power to save. I love it. Brother Danny used to say he'd get happy once in a while praying, "Oh God, you've got the power. You've got the power. Lord, do the work. You've got the power." I'm going to tell you something. He's still got the power. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Without his power, nothing ever happens. He's got the power to convict, and he's got the power to save. Listen to what the Word of God said, Hebrews 7:25. "Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Because he lives, Brother Winkle, he's got the power to save. Amen. He's got the power to save to the uttermost. One preacher said it like this, "From the guttermost to the uttermost." I'm telling you, it doesn't matter who you are, who you think you are, or what you've done. My God's got the power to save. He's got the power to save. Nevertheless, the Bible said in Psalm 106 and verse 8, "He saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known." Every time God saves an individual, he's letting his mighty power be known. He's got the power to save. They were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Why should Sunday school teachers stay in the Bible? Why should preachers stay in the Bible? I'll tell you why. Because it's the only book that's got the power. His word has power, mighty power. Our Savior, because he lives, he has all power. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Thank God he has the power. Not only power to save, but let me give you this, power over the grave. In prison, when I preached in prison for 10 years, there were things that you could not say. In other words, they didn't want you to attack another religion. They didn't want you to attack or say anything derogatory about the Muslim religion or the Catholic religion or Hinduism or any of the other isms in the world. In other words, just preach the Bible. And by the way, Brother John, I believe you're right. It'll stand on its own. It don't need to be propped up. Amen. I've always believed that. Paul told Timothy, "Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort of all long-suffering and doctrine. That's what the Bible said. I'll tell you, there's power over the grave. Some would say, well, preacher, you can't preach against them. Here's how I would do it. The Bible talked about being harmless. Are you listening? Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. I tell them old boys, Brother Ralph, I'm just a country boy from Tennessee. Ain't got a whole lot of sense. But I said, I've got sense enough to do this. I'm going to trust the one that got himself up to get me up. If he couldn't get himself up, how in the world's he ever going to help me? Amen. I'm telling you, he's got power over the grave. Amen. Listen to what the Bible said. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, but it's raised in power. Jesus said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. 1 Corinthians 6:14, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his own power. Because he lives, he can be trusted. Because he lives, he has all power. Amen. Miss Linda, I just looked up and saw that hand going up back there, honey. Praise God, that helps a preacher. He's alive this morning. Amen. Because he lives. Let me give you this in closing. Because he lives, he will return. Because he lives, he can be trusted. Because he lives, he has all power. Because he lives, he will return. Listen to what the Bible said. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see him. I'm going to explain a little bit right here this morning. Just stay with me. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I didn't realize this till I studied this time, but he's coming with clouds. And clouds signify majesty. Can I tell you something right now? There's never been majesty on this earth like the majesty of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He will return. Revelation 20:6. Listen. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Now wait a minute. If the Bible says the first resurrection, then there must be a second. On such the second death hath no power. Now let me teach you quickly. Real quickly. Because a lot of people don't understand this truth. There are people still preaching and teaching a general resurrection. That it all happens at the same time. But according to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The trump of God's going to sound. And then there's going to be something happening in the earth called the Great Tribulation. The saints of God, if you'll read the Old Testament, Enoch is typical of the church. Enoch was and he was not. I'll tell you, listen, I say to my grandchildren, there's going to be a day when Papa was. But then there's going to be a day when he was not. He's gone. You say, preacher, what happens? Are you going to die? Maybe. I hope not. I hope I get to go on the big load. Say amen. Where we're just translated in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. I have a new body. Doctor told me the other day. I went to the doctor. He told me about this medicine. He said, you can stay on this forever. That's what he said. That was his very words. I said, no, I can't, Doc. He said, why not? I said, because Jesus is coming. And when Jesus comes, I'm going to have a new body. I said, now I can stay on it till he comes if need be. But I said, when he comes, I'm not taking any pills with me. Amen. I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. Because he lives, he's going to return. You've got the great tribulation period. Carefully, quickly, there's going to be a multitude saved which no man can number out of every kindred, nation, people, and tongue. Yes, there is. But if you've heard the gospel and you've rejected the Spirit of God has spoke to your heart, you've rejected the Lord, there'll be no hope for you in that tribulation hour. God will send strong delusion. Do you understand the people in the tribulation hour that trust Jesus? They'll mean business because they'll not be able to buy. They'll not be able to sell. They'll starve to death before they'll deny the Lord that bought him. If you think ISIS is bad, you just wait till the Antichrist comes on the scene. Then the Word of God said, we'll be coming back, Revelation 19, with Jesus. He's going to ride out of heaven on a white horse. He's coming back. What's he going to do, preacher? I tell you what he's going to do. He's going to defeat the devil. He's going to defeat his cohorts. He's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron for 1,000 years upon the earth. He's going to set it right. Once and for all. It's not going to be a Republican that does it. It's not going to be a Democrat that does it. I hate to bust your bubble, but only the King of Kings and the Prince of Peace will ever bring peace to this earth that we live in. Beloved friend, he's coming because he lives. The Bible said, they shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. If you read that and you don't understand, don't have a working knowledge of the Word of God, you might think it all happens at the same time. No. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such. Remember I told you Enoch was typical of the church. He was called out. I think it was Brother Mays, it may have been somebody else, said one day, you know, the Bible said Enoch walked with God. Brother Johnny, he suggested that one day they just walked so far that God said, you know, buddy, Enoch, it's closer to my house than it is to yours. And he was gone. But Noah is a type of Israel. God saved Enoch from the judgment. God saved Noah through the judgment. He's up there in that boat, that ark. He was in a safe place, and God brought him through the flood, through the judgment that came upon the world. Now listen, the Bible said as far as God's people, the church, we're not appointed under wrath. You can mark that down. He said, preacher, if I believed that, I'd live loose. No, if you believed he could come at any second, you'd tighten up. Say amen. You wouldn't live loose. You'd love him. You'd serve him. Because you'd know that any moment he can come and take us out of this world. Warren Wiersbe in his book, Meet Yourself in the Psalm. Listen carefully. I'm closing. He tells about a frontier town where a horse bolted, and he ran away with a wagon carrying a little boy. Seeing the child in danger, a young man risked his life to catch the horse and stop the wagon. The child who was saved grew up to become a lawless man
And one day he stood before a judge to be sentenced for a serious crime. The prisoner recognized the judge as the man who, years before, had saved his life. So he pled for mercy on the basis of that experience. Listen to what the judge said. But the words from the bench silenced his plea. Young man, back then, I was your Savior. Today, I'm your judge. And I must sentence you to be hanged. One day Jesus will say to rebellious sinners, during that long day of grace, I was your Savior, and you rejected me. And now, I am your judge. And you'll be sentenced to a place called the lake of fire. God help us. Because he lives, every eye will see him. Every eye will see him. He's going to return. Every eye. How can I prepare for his coming? Listen to what the Bible said. But it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Here's how a person can escape the wrath of God, escape judgment. Believe the gospel. Trust the Lord. He can be trusted. He has all power. He's coming back. He will return. What is the gospel? How that Christ died for our sin according to the scripture. That's why the children sang the song. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That he was buried. I was listening this morning on the television to Charles Stanley. And he taught a wonderful, wonderful message on baptism. It was awesome. It was nothing new to me, but he just put it together in a great way and presented it. Christ was buried. That's why he said we ought to be buried with him in baptism. Christ came out of the tomb alive. And the Holy Ghost gives us life when he quickens us and saves us by his grace. How that Christ died for our sin according to the scripture. They buried him, but he rose again the third day according to the scripture. He can be trusted. Have you trusted him? He has all power. He will come again. I'm looking forward to having Brother Houston in the service tonight. But I tell you what, before the service tonight, we may be entering into one of the services that we've been waiting for a long time. How we ought to be ready. Because really, ready or not, he is coming. Do you want to face him with him being your Savior? Or do you want to face him with him being your judge? I don't know about you, but I know the best end of that deal. Trust him. Trust him. Don't delay. Trust him. The Spirit of God knocks, but he's a gentleman. He'll never knock the door down in your life. He's waiting on you to open the door and say, come in, Lord. I need you in my heart. I need you in my life. Let's bow for prayer. Thank you for your attention this morning. Lord Jesus, I've done my best this morning to Preach what you put on my heart because he lives. Lord, you can be trusted this morning. You're trustworthy. You have the power to do what needs to be done. And Lord, you will come again. You said, if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Lord, the angels that day when you ascended said, this same Jesus shall so come again in like manner as you've seen him taken into heaven. God, I pray today for that soul. Maybe you've been speaking to them all week. Maybe they're like the professor. They said they believed. But Lord, when it comes down to the thought of dying, they lay down at night, Lord, and wonder, if I don't wake up, where will I be? When there's a life that's never been changed, still steeped in sin, then Lord, there's never been an experience of coming to Christ as Savior. For to be in Christ is to be a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Father, this morning I pray, help people to be judgment day honest in their heart and in their life.